Some are not. How we deal with this? Who's going to translate?
I think Dana Kinimadeji is here, so she can translate.
Nice. Is she here?
Yes, Maharaj, I am. Yes, here.
Okay. Then we can begin.
Okay, so you want me to translate, right? Because I hear Srimadila's connection is very good. Okay. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, you can translate.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready? We're on?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们, 早上好。
We're continuing with our series of lectures on preaching is the essence.
我们今天继续我们的系列课程，课程的内容是传教是精髓。
And first, we'll offer our humble obeisances to ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarine. To all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhincha, Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. To Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasa Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in a previous class, someone brought up a topic, and the topic was, what should the behavior of a preacher be?
在我们之前的课程里面呢，某人提出了一个话题，这个话题就是作为一个传教者，他的行为举止应该是怎样的。
So we want to speak about that this morning.
所以我们今天早晨呢，就要讲述这个话题。
Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitate Kali Akya, which means that one should accept as one's guide the words of the sadhus, the shastra, and the guru.
在 Narottam Das Thakur 他就讲到呢，一个人他应该接受一位guru。 经典和圣人的话语。
So we're going to be appealing to these three authorities to give us proper guidance and inspiration while discussing this topic.
当我们在探讨这个话题的时候呢，我们就要向这三类权威进行祈祷，并且吸引他们能够给我们指导。
Now we know that this was a very important topic. Are you going?
那我们知道呢，这是一个非常重要的话题。
Our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada wrote books on this.
我们的 acharya 以及Srila Prabhupada 都就这个话题写下了书籍。
500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to write about Vaishnava behavior.
在500年以前, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 训示 Srila Sanatana Goswami 就 Vaishnava 的举止写下著作。
And he included this in his work Hari Bhakti Vilas.
他在他的著作 Hari Bhakti Vilas 中 写下了这些内容。
Then we have Srila Rupa Goswami writing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
然后呢，我们又有Srila Rupa Goswami 他写下了Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 动爱的甘露之阳,
which, as you know, also includes quite a bit of information about how a Vaishnava should behave.
我们也知道在这里面呢涵盖了很多的信息是关于一位 Vaishnava 他应该是怎样行为的。
And then of course, our own Srila Prabhupada, has given us the essence of Vaishnava behavior through his writings, particularly in his translation of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Nectar of Devotion and also the Nectar of Instruction.
那我们也知道 Srila Prabhupada 他也写下了书籍来教导我们一个 Vaishnava 到底应该怎么去行事怎么去行为特别是在他的奉爱的甘露以及教会的甘露中写下了这些相关的内容
And as we witness Srila Prabhupada's personal activities exemplified the highest standard of Vaishnava behavior
而且我们也注意到 Srila Prabhupada 通过他自己的行为举止给我们树立了最高的一位 Vaishnava 应该行为举止的榜样
So someone may question, what is the importance of good behavior?
所以有人可能就会问这样一个问题，作为一个好的行为举止，它到底有什么用？它为什么这么重要？
Someone might say, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not the body. What does it matter what actions I perform or words I speak?
我可能就会说，我又不是这躯体，我是一个灵魂，所以我说什么话，我做什么事儿，又有什么重要的呢？
Doesn't the end justify the means?
难道这不是这个对于这个方式来说不是正当的吗？
In other words, as long as I preach, how I act and what I say is not really that important.
也就是说呢，当我在传教的时候，我到底怎么做事，我到底怎么说话，其实根本就不重要。
Now, if someone would think like that,
如果要是有人这么想的话
I believe it's important to remember who we represent
我想我们重要的是需要知道我们到底代表的是谁
We're aspiring devotees so naturally we're trying to represent Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead
我们都是想要成为奉献者的准奉献者所以呢，我们代表的是至尊人格守神，代表的是 Krishna。
We're trying to represent our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada。
我们努力要代表我们的创办灵性导师 Srila Prabhupada。
We're trying to represent Srila Prabhupada's transcendental institution, ISKCON。
而且我们也试着要代表 Srila Prabhupada 的超然的机构 ISKCON。
We're trying to represent our Diksha Guru.
我们努力要代表我们的启迪灵性导师。
Trying to represent our Shiksha Guru.
我们努力要代表我们的训示灵性导师。
And also all of our fellow devotees.
以及我们努力想要代表我们所有的同行的奉献者们。
Why? Because Others will judge you on your behavior.
为什么呢？因为别人会根据你的行为来评判你。
Whether it's family members or friends or work colleagues or even new acquaintances.
无论是你的家庭成员、你的朋友、同事，还是新认识的人。
Often people are convinced of Krishna consciousness based on a devotee's behavior.
通常来说呢，人们会根据一个奉献者他的行为举止来被说服，是不是想要变得具有 Krishna 知觉。
If the devotee exhibits good behavior, that is very powerful means of convincing people. But if a devotee's behavior is bad, then that can drive people away.
如果一个奉献者他的举止非常的优良的话那他就会变得很有力量的去说服别人加入到 Krishna 知觉中但如果他的行为不端的话呢那么就会反其道而行使得别人被他吓跑了
So we're going to look at some quotes some things that we have in Shastra some things that Srila Prabhupada said as well
所以我们现在呢来看一些在经典以及由 Srila Prabhupada 所说出来的一些话我们来做一些引述
First thing we'll look at is a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
首先呢，我们要来看在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经中的一个引述。
And this is in reference to Madhavendra Puri.
那这个呢是由 Madhavendra Puri 所说的。
So, this is from Madhya Lila 17185.
这个是在 Madhya Lila 第十七章的第185节。
So the verse says, a devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles.
这个世界呢，就是说一个奉献者，他的行为举止，确立了关于宗教原则的真正的目的。
The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of such religious principles.
而 Madhavendra Puri Goswami 他的行为举止就是这样的原则的精髓的展现。
And in the purport to that verse.Probably also says something quite interesting.
在这个世界的要旨里面，沙拉巴巴也说了一些很，也写下了一些非常有意思的话。
He says a man covered by illusion cannot understand the proper way.
他说一个被虚幻所遮盖的人是没有办法理解恰当的方式的。
Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says.
因此 ，Sri Chaitanya.
The behavior of a devotee is the criterion for all other behavior.
一位奉献者他的这个行为举止是是其他的所 一位奉献者的行为举止他要决定了其他的那些举止。
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself followed the devotional principles and taught others to follow them.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他自己追随了所有的奉爱的原则，并且教导其他的人也遵循这些奉爱的原则。
So, in our Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada instituted both basic and advanced rules.
在我们的 Krishna 知觉的运动之中呢，舍拉帕帕他给我们提供了基本的这些原则，也给了我们高级的原则。
The most basic is that one should chant Hare Krishna at least 16 rounds a day and should avoid illicit sex, intoxication, gambling immediately.
那么作为基础原则呢，就是一个人他至少要每天念诵十六圈。并且呢，不要吃肉，不要有吸食麻醉品的行为，不要赌博，也不要过非法的性生活。
And so, someone who sincerely accepts this behavior can elevate himself, beyond sinful life to the standard of devotional service to Krishna.
一个非常真诚的去追寻这一些原则的人呢，他就能够超越罪恶的活动。并且达到对 Krishna 进行奉献服务的阶段。
So it's clear right from the beginning, Prabhupada wanted the devotees to reform themselves and try to act like a human being.
所以说呢，非常清晰的看到，舍利帕帕在最开始的时候呢，就希望人们能够重新的进行改造，然后呢，能够像人一样去行为去做事。
We should note, though, in the beginning, Prabhupada, he very gently, gradually introduced the principles.
但是我们也应该知道，舍利帕帕在最开始的时候呢，他是非常温柔的，非常逐渐的把这些原则展现给我们的。
First, he attracted persons through Harinam.
首先呢，他吸引人，进入到了 Harinam。
And speaking philosophy, speaking the philosophy mostly from the Gita in the beginning.
然后呢，又开始讲述哲学。在最开始的时候呢，大部分的哲学都是讲述的《薄伽梵歌》中的内容。
And cooking for these early recruits and feeding them prasadam.
然后对于最先进来的这一批人呢，他还为他们 烹饪美食, 然后给他们吃 prasadam.
In the beginning, he overlooked their sinful habits, and he had faith that the basic process of Harinam philosophy and prasad would purify them. And after a certain point, then he introduced the principles.
所以最开始的时候呢，他就忽略了他们的不端的行为，他们罪恶的举止，然后他也相信通过哈瑞纳姆的程序，通过给他们尝普沙丹，就能够使他们的内心得到净化，然后逐渐的他才把更多的这些原则介绍给大家。
We're going to look at another quote here. This is from the 11th canto.
那我们现在来看另外一个引述，这是来自于圣典《不加瓦坛》第十一篇的。
And this is from a purport.
这是来自于一个世界的要旨。
So it says, the progressive religionists and those who are responsible human beings are those who do not want to spoil their valuable human lives should refrain from all principles of irreligiosity.
那些在宗教中逐渐行走过程中的人，那些想要作为一个有责任心的人的人，他就会非常有责任心的避免不虔诚的宗教活动，especially illicit
activities.
特别是非法的性行为。If
a Brahman is not truthful, all his claims as a Brahmana are at once become null and void.
如果一个婆罗门他不诚实，那么他在婆罗门的状态中所从事的行为立刻都会变得烟消云散。 Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false.
如果一位sannyasi他和女子有不法的行为，那么他作为sannyasi所做的宣称就立刻都会变得是错误的。
Similarly, if the king and the public leader are unnecessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities.
同样，作为国王和管理者，如果他变得无必要的骄傲，并且呢，无度的酗酒，那么他立刻也就没有资格再去管理。
Truthfulness is the basic principle for all religions.
真诚是所有的宗教的最基本的原则。Before
leaders of the human society, namely the sannyasi, the brahmana, the king, and the public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualification.
就是在这社会的这四个主要的领导阶层，也就是婆罗门、刹帝利还有管理者们，那么他们必须要被这些原则所管制，这样才能够变成真正的领导。Before
one can be accepted as a spiritual or material master of society, he must be tested by the above mentioned criteria of character.
当一个人他被宣称为是灵性的或者是物质的领导之前，他首先要符合上述所提到的这些要求。Such
public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualifications, but it is necessary primarily that they be free from the contamination of the four disqualifications.
这些公众的领导人物也许他们并没有那么多的学术上的 造诣和见地，但是呢，他们首先必须要去遵循这些基本的原则。
And those four, of course, are gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter.
就是他们不能够有这四项不符合原则的行为。这四项原则就是与女子有染、赌博、酗酒以及屠杀动物。
So a lot here about character.
所以在这里面呢，提到很多都是关于品格相关的事情。
That one's actions speak louder than one's words.
就一个人的行为要比他的话语更加的有说服力。
So to be a real devotee in Krishna consciousness, one has to behave as a devotee according to the standards of Vaishnava behavior.
所以作为一个奉献者，他首先呢必须要按照 Vaishnava 的行为举止去从事活动。
We know that Kali Yuga is characterized by two disqualifications, really. Yeah, go ahead.
那我们知道卡利年代呢，主要是有两种，就有两种性格，有两种品格。
One of them is hypocrisy.
其中一种呢是虚伪。
And hypocrisy is dishonesty.
那虚伪呢，也就意味着是不诚实。
It is to say one thing but do another.
就是言行不一。
To speak high philosophy, you know, high ideals and everything, but oneself not really practicing that.
他讲述的是很高的哲学，讲述的是很高的理想的理念，但他自己并没有去修习。
So, according to the purport there, without honesty, there's no question of spiritual life.
所以在这要旨里面呢，还提到了，如果要是没有诚实的话，也就不用提及关于灵性的生活了。
Prabhupada says that truthfulness is the basic principle of all religions.
所以舍尔法巴说呢，真诚是所有的宗教的最基本的原则。
So, whenever religionists, including ourselves, misbehave, that the spread of God consciousness is checked.
所以无论我们是出于哪一种这个宗教，如果我们的行为不端的话，那么对于神觉的这种传播就是无益的。
We hear in Srimad Bhagavatam how once King Indra, he disguised himself as a sannyasi tointerrupt the sacrificial performances of Maharaj Prithu.
那我们在圣典薄伽瓦坛也听到了这样一段故事，就是天帝因者他如何将自己打扮成三亚斯的样子去打扰 Prithu 王正在进行的祭祀，想要停止他的祭祀。
Previous to that, we have the demon Ravana disguising himself as a saintly mendicant to kidnap Sita.
那在之前呢，我们也听到了，恶魔 Ravana 他如何将自己打扮成是一个修士，然后去绑架 Sita.
And Srila Prabhupada comments that the government's duty is to stop fraudulent religious practices.
Srila Prabhupada 说呢，政府他的职责就是要阻止这些华而不实的宗教行为。
Of course, in Kali Yuga, governments can't really ascertain what is religion or irreligion.
但是在卡利年代，政府其实现在已经没有办法去知道什么是宗教，什么不是宗教了。
And because of this, Prabhupada says, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement.
舍尔法巴说呢，也就是因为这个原因，使得大众现在处在的状态就是对于灵性生活根本就不感兴趣了。
Thus the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish.
这样呢，就使得这个人类的社会 变得越来越瓦解，而且呢，变得越来越像地狱一样。
So whenever we hear of someone transgressing religious principles, be it Indra or Ravan or others, and them being dishonest, portraying themselves as something they're not, or just trying to deceive others, that is very much condemned.
所以呢，当我们看到类似于像天帝因者或者像 Ravana 他们去这个扰乱其他的人这种宗教活动的时候，我们就会发现这个其实是具有极大的污染力的。
Now in one letter, Prabhupada speaks about this a little bit more.
在一封信里，释迦牟尼就这个话题就讲述了更多的内容。
He's writing one senior devotee. He says that my only anxiety is to guide you.
他是给一个年长的奉献者写的信。他说呢，我唯一的焦虑就在于如何指导你。
The main guidance is all of us should remain spiritually strong by chanting the minimum number of rounds and following the rules and regulations.
那么其中的一个焦虑呢，就是我们所就其中的一个指导就是我们所有的人都应该努力的念诵我们必须要念诵的圈数，并且去追随这些原则。
The GBC should personally observe strictly all the rules and regulations, and they should become the practical example to others.
GBC 的成员呢，就必须要以身作则的去很好的执行所有的这些规范和原则，并且呢，为其他的人树立良好的榜样。
Then everything will be all right.
这样一切才能够变得处于正当的状态。
Then there will be no fear of being victimized by Maya.
然后才不会使大家成为 Maya 的俘虏。
So Prabhupada told us again and again that we should be good examples.
所以说释迦牟尼他一次又一次地告诫我们，我们应该成为好的榜样。
Particularly those of us who are older in devotional service.
特别是对那些在奉爱服务中已经待了一段时间的人。
In one letter that Prabhupada wrote in 1976, he said, "Example is better than precept."
1976年，释迦牟尼在一封信里面讲到了榜样要利于说教。
You may speak some good words, but if your actions don't exemplify that, it will not have much value.
榜样要好于说教，因为如果你要是说了一些教导，你可能说了一些话，但是如果要是自己没有按照这些话去做的话，那它就没有任何价值。
No potency.
没有力量。
Therefore, Prabhupada, and indeed scripture speaks about these two conceptions, achar and prachar.
然后说爸爸呢，他就说了这两个概念，一个是 achar， 还有另外一个是 prachar。
And achar, of course, means behavior, and prachar means to speak or to preach.
Achar 的意思呢是讲话 ，prachar 的意思呢是传教，是行动。
And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very famous verse that said, some behave well but do not preach the call of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach but do not behave properly.
那么在这个Chaitanya Charitamrita 里面就讲到了，他说呢，就是有的人他在传教，但是呢 ，sorry Marge。Someone preach, but he is not behave himself.
Some behave well, but do not preach, whereas others preach, but do not behave properly.
Yeah. 他就说呢，就是有些人他这个做得很好，但是呢，他没有传教；但是还有一些人呢，他传教，但是呢，他的行为并不是那么的恰当。
This is being addressed to Srila Haridas Thakur.
那么这个呢是对 Srila Haridas Thakur 所说的话。
And the second part of this is that you simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and your preaching.
然后但是第二段呢就是说您自己同时又非常的注意您的举止，但与此同时呢你又很好的传教。
Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world. You are the most advanced devotee in the world.
所以说呢，在这，所以灵性导师是这个世界上最崇高的奉献者。
So one thing we should understand that whoever we are, we're all part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army.
所以呢，我们必须要理解，无论我们是在哪里，但是我们都是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的 Sankirtan 运动的大军的士兵。
And as he wanted to inundate the world with Krishna Bhakti, we are supposed to assist him. That's our duty.
因为呢，他希望让这个世界充斥着对 Krishna 的 Bhakti。所以呢，我们就应该来协助他做这件事情，这是我们的职责。
As practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we're not supposed to be only concerned with our own advancement, our own practice, and our own advancement, but we should be in anxiety about giving Krishna consciousness to others.
作为 Krishna 知觉的修习者，我们不应该只为我们自己的进步和提升而着想，我们应该很焦虑地想着如何把这个 Krishna 知觉能够给世界其他的人。
Now this world, the word preaching, it can refer to many things.
而传教这个词呢，它其实是涵盖了很多的内容的。
You know, if we can borrow the analogy from a kind of a wartime situation, and use the example of an army.
那我们可以用在战争中的这样一个景象，然后用军队这个例子来进行类比。
You have, you know, certain soldiers, they're on the front line. You know, they have their weapons and they're facing the opposing army, quite closely.And they're shooting the bullets and all of that. So they're on the front lines.
那我们有冲在前线上的这些士兵们，那他们真的是和敌人是拿着武器在针锋相对，并且呢是血雨腥风的。
While others in the army, they may be doing supportive activities.
但是还有一些军队呢，他们是处于支持的状态。
You know, somewhere, someone has to be making ammunition.
Ammunition.
Ammunition. Bullets. The bullets.
Oh, okay. 那有些人呢，比如说，就得去参与制造子弹的这个工作。
Someone has to provide food for the army. It says the army moves on its stomach. The army moves on its stomach.
那还有一些人呢，就得为这些军人提供食物。
Someone is taking care of other aspects of organization and management of the army.
还有人呢，就得参与如何管理这些军队的活动。
So everyone has a role to play.
所以每一个人呢，都有自己各自的角色。
But everyone should have that mood that they want to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide.
但是每一个人都要处在这样一种心绪中，就是要尽量广泛的去传播 Krishna 知觉。
So preaching can mean many things. It can mean printing and distribution of literature.
所以说传教其实意味着很多方面，包括印刷书籍、出版书籍。
It can mean holding festivals or cultural programs.
还有可以举办节日进行文化活动。
It can include using art and theater to inform the public about the teachings of our scriptures.
还有呢，通过舞台剧的这种方式来展现我们在经典中的教导。
It may mean meeting people anywhere and just sharing a little bit.
还有呢，在任何一个地方见到人之后呢，都和向他们分享一点点相关的知识。
It may mean meeting them in a university classroom.
也可能意味着就在大学的校园里或者大学的一个教室里面遇到新的人。
Or even in their home and telling them something about
或者是或者在家里面告诉家人一些关于 Krishna 的某些信息。
It means engaging people in centers or teaching them how to practice Krishna consciousness in their own homes.
也就还意味着呢，教导人们如何以 Krishna 为中心而生活，或者是在家里面怎么去修习 Krishna 知觉。
Preaching also means that we teach people how they can serve Krishna through their occupation.
教导传教也意味着我们能够告诉人们如何在他们自己现在所处在的职业中去进行修习。
So, there are so many different aspects to the word preaching.
所以说呢，作为传教这个词，它是有方方面面的内容的。
Essentially, it means to share the message, to teach people, and to help engage them.
那它的这个核心的内容呢，就是去教导别人，并且呢，去把这个知识传播给人，然后呢，让大家能够从事 Krishna 知觉相关的活动。
Now, Rupa Goswami, he explained that a devotee should never renounce anything that can be used in the service of Krishna.
是了 Rupa Goswami 教导大家说呢，一个奉献者，他永远都不要把一个可以用于对 Krishna 做服务的事情给放弃掉。
Even so-called material objects like phones, computers, jet planes, automobiles, anything and everything can be used to broadcast Krishna's message.
任何一个物质的事物，比如说我们的手机，平板电脑，就是这个手提电脑，或者是直升飞机，或者是车，任何一样东西，只要能够用作 Krishna 知觉的事物，都不能够被放弃。
And when such objects are used in the service of Krishna, they become spiritualized.
因为当这些事物被用作对 Krishna 的服务的时候，它们也就变得灵性化了。
And so this is the Yukta Vairagya principle.
所以呢，这是 Yukta Vairagya 的原则。
At the same time, one should not take advantage of Yukta Vairagya and in the name of so-called Yukta Vairagya, utilize those things for one's own sense gratification. And,
但与此但与此同时嘛呢，与此同时，人又不能滥用 Yukta Vairagya 这一原则，然后呢，用它作为一个借口，从而呢满足自己的私自的感官享乐。
Prabhupada said we could collect $1 million in a day, but we should be careful not to take $1 for ourselves.
舍尔帕帕说的，我们可能每天都能够收集上百万美金的这个收入，但是我们要非常的小心的，不要把其中的一分钱用在自己的身上。
We should not consider the rules and regulations of Vaishnava behavior to be just ritual or formality.
而且呢，我们也不能够认为 Vaishnava 他要遵循的规范和原则仅仅是一种仪式化的行为。
In one letter, Prabhupada, he wrote, the first preaching work is that you should become an ideal devotee.
舍尔帕帕在一封信里面他就写到， 那首先要传教的这个目的呢，是要让自己成为一个理想的奉献者。
This too was expressed by Mahaprabhu. He said, first become perfect and then preach.
所以 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也有同样的教导，他说呢，首先让自己变得完美，然后再去传教。
By that he meant that you should practice what you preach.
那么这也就意味着你要去修行你所传教的内容。
And this is kind of like a physician. He has to heal himself first before he can help others.
就像是一位大夫，他得先把自己的病治好，然后他才能帮助别人。
In one purport, Prabhupada says that we want to create pure devotees so that other people will benefit by their association.
舍尔帕帕在一个要旨里面说呢，我们首先呢想要创造出的是纯粹的奉献者，然后呢才能够通过与他们的联谊去帮助到其他的人。
To make a show of devotional service will not help one.
但是仅仅是再去做作的进行奉献服务是不能够帮助别人的。
One must be a pure devotee following the devotional process.
那一个人呢，他必须要是纯粹的奉献者，去追随奉来服务的程序。
Then one can convert others to devotional service.
然后呢，他才能够去帮助其他的人去从事奉献服务。
If a preacher behaves properly in devotional service, he will be able to convert others.
如果一个人他在奉爱服务中具有恰当的举止，这样他才能说服其他的人。
Otherwise, his preaching will have no effect.
否则的话，他的传教就没有任何的效果。
So, there's in terms of behavior in preaching, we have.Some different considerations. In our Nectar of Devotion, it says that one should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings.
在关于这个恰当的行为举止中呢，我们有一些有一些考虑。那么其中呢，在《奉爱的甘露》里面就提到了一个人呢，他不应该去忽视他自己的职责。
In other words, in the name of spirituality.It's not that one should give up honesty and compassion and these type of things.
也就是说呢，在这个灵性，就是因着灵性之名，人也不应该放弃掉他所应该有的怜悯之心。Compassion and sorry, I forgot that one word.
Honesty.
还有他的诚实，他的诚实和怜悯。Sorry.
And of course, we know from the Bhagavad Gita because, you know, all of us are aspiring to develop brahminical qualities, whoever we are.
那其实我们每一个人呢，都希望能够培养出婆罗门的品质。
So let's recall what those are: peacefulness, self-control, austerity.
那我们看《国家梵歌》里面告诉我们，就是一个婆罗门所具备的品质呢，它是要自控的，并且呢，它是平和的，而且它是要进行苦行的。
Purity, tolerance, honesty.
它是纯粹的，它是诚实的
，knowledge, wisdom,
而且是容忍的
，knowledge, wisdom and religiousness。
它是有智慧的，它是有知识的，而且它是有宗教心的。
These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work。
这些呢都是一位婆罗门他所具备的天然的品质。
And so, the Sanskrit for honesty is.Arjavam and Arjavam.
Arjavam 这个词呢是诚实的梵文词。 Maharaj. Haribo.
Haribo.
Haribo Maharaj. Now I can hear you. But I cannot hear you now. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Haribo. Haribo.
Haribo. Haribo. Haribo Maharaj.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. I guess Krishna wants us to chant a lot today, huh? Many Haribos. Haribo. Haribo Ananda. Haribo Ananda. Okay. So as I said, in the 11th canto, this word Arjavam is explained a little bit more.
那么在这个圣典摩迦瓦腾的第十一篇里面所用的 Arjavam这个词，它讲的更多的内容。
The word Arjavam indicates simplicity or straightforwardness.
这个 Arjavam这个词呢，它指的是简单以及直截了当。
According to Srila Sridhar Swami, there's a word, it's svachatam, or clarity, transparency is a synonym for straightforwardness.
Svachatam, right? Svachatam.
Svachatam, yeah.
Svachatam. 那么根据
Sridhar
Swami的说法呢? Sridhar Swami的这个说法呢, 就这个 Svachatam这个词, 它的意思是清晰的了然的意思。
So clarity, transparency, these are synonyms for straightforwardness.
所以呢, 清晰的, 透明的,了然的, 这是, 直截了当的记忆词。
Again, that same concept, right, that my words have to be backed up by action.
这其实也就是说明我的话必须要有我的行为作为支撑。
So it goes on here a little bit more. Unless one is pure in consciousness, he will adopt many crooked means.
除非一个人的意识是很纯净的,否则他就会采取很多的 乱七八糟的行为。
Straightforwardness does not indicate that one should insult others in the name of honesty.
那直截了当并不意味着这人他要因着诚实之名而去侮辱其他的人。
But one should speak the humble truth.
但是人呢应该以谦卑的形式讲出真相。
When one television interviewer asked Prabhupada by what behavior could one recognize a true follower of Krishna
consciousness?
Prabhupada replied very simply.
舍尔爸爸就给了一个非常简单的回答。
He said he'd be a perfect gentleman, that's all.
他说呢,他会就是一位完美的绅士,就这么简单。
And in the Bhagavad Gita, where there's a listing of 18 items of knowledge.
在佛家梵歌里面呢, 就有一个关于知识的这么一个列单。
For reference is 13:8-12.
这个是第十三章13:8-12节。
And so Prabhupada translates the word amanditam. Amanitvam, as one One should himself become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. In ordinary kind of word usage, gentleman, it may refer to a man of wealth and aristocracy.
Aristocracy.
Aristocracy means someone's very, oh, good birth, wealthy, like that.
Oh, okay. Fluent. Okay, okay. OK OK， 那么就是就是在这个世俗社会里面呢，就这个gentleman， 就是这个绅士呢，他可能被人理解成是一个出生良好的家庭的一个人。
But here it's used to describe a devotee's high standard of honorable and considerate behavior.
但是在这里面呢，讲到的是奉献者，他是有一个令人尊重的，以及呢，非常的。得体的举止。
So anyone can appreciate someone who's polite and humble.
所以所有的人都会去欣赏一位谦卑的以及懂礼貌的人的人的。
The devotee should not be arrogant or inconsiderate of others.
所以奉献者他不应该变得傲慢以及不替别人着想。
You may remember that in the first canto of the Bhagavatam,
大家可能还记得在圣典摩迦瓦坛的第一篇里面
Narada Muni he explains that he was favored by the Vaishnavas because he says I was gentle in behavior.
Narada Muni 说他之所以被这些 Vaishnava 所喜爱的原因呢，是因为他非常温柔的行为举止。
And all my sins were eradicated in their service.
而且呢，通过对他们做服务，使得我所有的罪都被抵消掉了。
So, Prabhupada he comments on this verse, and he says that one should not be misled by a pseudo devotee.
所以，舍尔法法在这个要旨里面所做的评述就是，一个人他不应该被一个冒牌的奉献者所误导。
He himself must be plain and gentle.To receive the instructions of such a pure devotee.
那么他自己呢，应该很谦卑的、很温和的去接受这些纯粹的奉献者所给他的指导。
Now we also have the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself.
我们也看到主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 自己本人所给我们展示的例子。
That in his preaching, he displayed very kind of.Cool-headed, polite behavior, even when he was engaged in debate.
在他在传教的时候，即便是他处于辩论的这种状态，他也是非常沉着冷静的。
You may remember that there was one occasion where he really demonstrated a lot of humility and tolerance. He sat silently for 7 days while Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya lectured to him on the Vedanta Sutra.
大家还记得有这么一个例子，就是他完全展现了他的容忍之情。就是当 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 向他讲述 Vedanta Sutra 的时候，他静静的听他讲述了7天的时间。
And only when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya inquired of his silence, then Mahaprabhu began his opposition to the Mayavadi interpretation of Vedanta.
只有当萨瓦邦的巴达查里亚在询问主产参加马哈巴布为什么静不作声的时候，他才讲述了对于这个Mayavadi 的哲学的抨击的这一面。
You may also remember that when Mahaprabhu came into the company of the Mayavadi sannyasis at Benares.
还有一次呢，是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在 Benares 见到这些 Mayavadi 的时候所展现出来的情景。
He sat down humbly at the doorway until the chief sannyasi Prakasananda Saraswati personally had the
Maharaj。 Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, now. Now I can
what's
hear
the last
you,
thing?
I didn't
what's
hear
the
last part. The last thing I hear that is Prakananda Saraswati personally, then I didn't hear the rest.
That Prakananda Saraswati personally came to invite Mahaprabhu inside.
Okay. 那我们还看到就是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢他就静静地坐在门口听着就是然后屋子里面呢都是这些 Mayavadi 们然后直到 Mayavadi 的领袖 Prakananda Saraswati 亲自把 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给请到了房间里面
And when Mahaprabhu went back to Benares, he also displayed a kind of the similar type of gentleness and humility.
而且呢, 当 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 再次回到 Benares 的时候呢, 他依然展现的是非常柔和的, 非常彬彬有礼的, 举止。
There's actually one little excerpt from the Madhya Lila here I want to read.
在《马迭利勒》就是在中篇逍遥里面呢，有这么一段摘要，我想给大家读一读。
When people came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to discuss the principles of various scriptures, the Lord defeated their false conclusions and established the predominance of devotional service to the Lord.
当人们来拜见主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 并和他探讨经典中的各种内容的时候 主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就击败了所有的这些无神论这个非人格的这些观点 并且确立了奉爱服务的原则
With logic and argument he very politely changed their minds
他以逻辑和辩论非常的
We can remember then also when Mahaprabhu was very young that he defeated one Keshava Kashmiri, a very great pundit.
那我们也记得当时 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 还非常年幼的时候呢，他就击败了一位大学者 Keshava Kashmir pundit.
Kashmiri. And he was defeated so utterly that he couldn't even speak. He couldn't even speak a word.
他是重重地击败了他，以使得这个 Keshava 根本连一句话都说不出来。He
was dumbfounded.
他当时是哑口无言。And
when some of Lord Chaitanya's students began to laugh at this so-called pundit. Mahaprabhu silenced them.
当Mahaprabhu的那些学生们开始笑话这位学者的时候, Mahaprabhu制止了他们, 让他们别出声。
And he treated his opponent, so to speak, with honor.
所以呢,他是用尊重来对待他的反对方的。
You may also remember that when Mahaprabhu he started his civil disobedience kirtan against the Qazi's order.
而且呢，我们还记得，在这个Qazi，因为Qazi要下了这个命令，是让大家不要再进行 kirtan，然后当时他是怎么来反对Qazi的。
And he led 100,000 men in Kirtan to the Qazi's residence.
当时呢，他就带领了上百个人来到Qazi的家里边来进行 Kirtan.
And of course, the Qazi seeing all this, he became very frightened and he hid.
那么当Qazi看到这个景象的时候呢，他就很害怕，他就把自己藏了起来。
But Mahaprabhu very discussed with the Qazi very peacefully, and he treated him like a very honorable elder.
但是呢，Mahaprabhu呢，他非常的平和的和Qazi交谈，并且呢，视Qazi为一位令人尊重的长辈。And
Prabhupada comments.
舍帕帕评述。
In pushing in pushing on our Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness, we might have to face difficult days.
在我们促进我们的 Sankirtan 运动的这个时候呢, 我们可能会遇到一些艰难的日子。
But we should always follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and do the needful according to the time and circumstance.
但是呢, 我们应该追随 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu的足迹, 并且根据情况来做相应的事情。
Another point is that the scriptures advise, there's four words, Satyam, Bruyat, Priyam, Bruyat. And what that means is, in the material world, only palatable truths should be spoken.
那么所以在经典里面就告诉我们刚才这四个范文词，那么在物质世界只有有滋味的事情才能够去讲述。
Unpalatable truth should be carefully avoided.
而没有滋味的这个话题呢，就应该仔细的去避免。
So there's an example here that I think everyone will remember that there was this acquaintance of Prabhupada, Sumati Morarji, who eventually gave him passage on the Jaladutta.
那我们知道这个舍巴巴他认识一个人叫穆拉提，Sumati Morarji是舍巴巴的相识，那其实是苏马提穆拉吉最后给了舍巴巴去乘这个加勒都塔的船票。
Now, as it turns out, she was a follower of Vallabhachari.
那她呢是Vallabhachari的追随者。
And, you know, there had been a controversy between Lord Chaitanya and Vallabhacharya.
所以说呢,在 主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu和Vallabhachari 他们之间的教导实际上是有一些矛盾的。
And when Sumati Morarji, who was a follower of Vallabhacharya, she read in the Back to Godhead magazine that Lord Chaitanya had criticized Vallabhacharya.
那么这个Suraj Morarji他 在这个读这个回归守神杂志的时候呢，他就发现 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu呢，他是抨击了 Vallabhacharya 的教导的。 Marge, can you hear me?
In that article, of course.
Arvo, Marge.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Lord Chaitanya had criticized Vallabhacharya, comparing him in one instance to an unfaithful wife.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu抨击这个Vallabhacharya说呢，有一次就把他比成是一个不忠实的妻子。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I hear you. I translate. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
I can hear you now. You got
okay.
That point, right?
Yeah, I translate that, but I don't know if the audience hear that or not. I think so.
And so then Prabhupada kind of apologized. He said, it is certainly unpleasant, he wrote, but the officers who publish the magazine do not know this principle of speaking palatable truth.
那么释迦牟尼佛呢就向他道歉，他就说呢，就是这么写是不对的，而且呢，就是出版这个杂志的这个编辑呢，他应该不懂得如何能够以宜人的这种方式去谈话的原则。
So then Prabhupada went on to say that the cause of Mahaprabhu's agitation was much the same as this Mrs. Morarji's.
然后呢，Shri Papa说呢。 就是马哈帕布他所造成的这种担忧呢，和穆拉吉他所心内心的这种担忧其实是一样的。
And he wrote her, as you are irritated by the criticism of Sri Vallabhacharya, similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also agitated when Vallabhacharya criticized Sridhar Swami.
嗯，Sri，Sri，Sri，Prabhupada给这个。 Swami写信就说呢，就因为当你听到Balabhacharya被指责之后呢，你内心感到很不安。但是当Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu听到Sridhar Swami被指责之后的，他内心也是有同样的不安的。And
so Prabhupada explained that all the Vaishnava acharyas honor Sridhar Swami as the first commentator on the Bhagavatam.
嗯，他说呢，就是所有的这些 Vaishnava 们呢，全部都是在追随 Sridhar Swami 在这个圣典波迦瓦坛里面的要旨。
But when Vallabhacharya offered some very unfair and disrespectful criticisms of Sridhar Swami, naturally that was upsetting to Mahaprabhu.
但是呢 Vallabhacharya 呢，他就不时的。 指责了，批评了Sridhar Acharya的，Sridhar Swami的，就是他就这个批评了Sridhar Acharya。那么当Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu听到这个话的时候呢，他内心就不舒服了。And
Vallabhacharya even went so far as to claim that his own commentary on Bhagavatam was superior to Sridhar Swami。而且
Vallabhacharya还说呢，他对圣典波迦瓦坛的评述要高于Sridhar Swami对圣典波迦瓦坛的评述。And
of course, in response to this, Mahaprabhu criticized Vallabhacharya.
所以就因为这个原因呢，使得主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就批评了，或者是回应了 Vallabhacharya.
Otherwise, Prabhupada explained that Mahaprabhu and Vallabhacharya were friends. And he said the argument could be compared to the argument of two lawyers in a courtroom.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu他们俩人就是像朋友一样。那他们俩之中这种争论呢，好像是两个律师在法庭上的争论。
After the debate, they are again friends.
所以当他们辩论之后呢，他们俩又重新成为了朋友。And
then Prabhupada concluded with some interesting remarks.
然后十二爸爸就以很有意思的一些要点来进行了结论总结。So
this is quoted from that letter. He writes, devotees always humbly offer respects to everyone.
所以在这封信里面他就继续写到 作为一位奉献者，他总是非常的谦卑的向所有人致敬意。But
when there is a discussion on the point of shastra, they do not observe the usual etiquette, satyam, bruyat, priyam, bruyat.
但是呢，当这个关系到对经典的辩论的时候，他们就没有在遵循本来原本遵循的这个原则。
They speak only satyam, which means truth, although it may not necessarily be priyam or pleasing.
他们就只会讲 satyam, 也就是他们只会讲真理，但是讲的这个过程中的也许可能不是 priyam, 也就是可能不是那么宜人，这话不那么好听。But
what we note about this exchange is that, you know, Prabhupada clearly presented the truth without compromise. But his behavior was still priyam or was palatable.
但是呢，我们可以看到，舍利巴巴他在讲述的这个时候呢，他是晓之于理，但同时呢，他也是 priyam， 也就是他依然还是以非常宜人的方式在讲述的。
So all things considered, a devotee should try his or her best to act as a gentleman and behave politely, as Mahaprabhu did.
所以说呢, 所有的奉献者都应该像 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 那样 努力地去 严管自己的行为, 要让自己是一种宜人的方式去行事。
And when Prabhupada refers to a devotee as a gentleman, he generally means that a devotee avoids committing any of the four illicit types of activities.
当时爸爸他说呢，奉献者他应该是一位绅士的时候，他也意味着就是奉献者要努力地避免从事那四项非法的活动。
And to follow also the or try to develop the qualities of a Brahman as mentioned in the Gita.
并且努力要培养出在《博迦梵歌》中所提到的婆罗门应该所具有的品质。
So in this way, try to be as exemplary as possible.
因为这样呢,才能够尽可能地让自己成为一名榜样。
Because again, example is more convincing than just the words we speak.
因为榜样的力量要比话语的力量更加的有力量。
So these are the points I wanted to make this morning. Now, if you have any questions, we can take a few questions.
所以这是我今天早晨想要和大家分享的要点。所以如果大家有任何的问题的话，我们现在可以来给大家解答一些问题。
萨迪玛吉，那个在有问题吗？那问题是在什么地方来着？在聊天。哦，我看到了。第一个问题呢，是来自于卡玛拉穆里提玛塔吉的顶拜咕噜，请问怎样才能变得真诚呢？才能具有美好的品质？
Please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that, what to do to make us to develop those truthful qualities, how to cultivate the beautiful qualities.
Okay, very good question, thank you.
很好的问题,谢谢您。
That's a question we should all be asking ourselves.
我们每一个人都应该问自己这个问题。
On one level, we know that these are the qualities of the eternal self.
那从某一个层面上来说呢，我们应该知道，就是所有的这一切都是我们本人应该就是已经有的这些美丽的品质。
As pure spirit souls, we have only, you know, good qualities.
因为作为纯粹的灵魂，我们只有好的品质。
But of course, when we come into this world, that original spiritual nature, which is all pure, is covered by the gross and the subtle bodies.
但是呢，当我们来到这个物质世界以后呢，这些非常纯粹的美好的品质被精微的和粗糙的躯体给覆盖住了。
So we're trying to remove the impurities through the practice of Krishna consciousness.
所以说呢，我们努力通过修习 Krishna 知觉，把我们的这些不洁给移除掉。
First and foremost, to inoffensively chant the holy name.
那首先最重要的呢，就是在没有冒犯的情况下念诵圣名。
We're trying to remove the impurities so we can really come in contact with or experience the nature of the eternal soul.
那我们努力的要移除这些不洁，这样我们才能够真正的去触及我们的纯粹的灵魂。
Secondly, we're trying to understand our philosophy through the very serious study, the daily study of Prabhupada's books.
然后第二点呢，就是我们要每天非常认真的研习释迦牟尼佛的书籍，从而能够很好的了解我们的哲学。
It goes without saying that the daily study of Prabhupada's books is as important as chanting our rounds.
每天学习释迦牟尼佛的书籍和每天念诵同等重要。
So if we can associate with Prabhupada and we can hear from him, the glories of the Lord and his eternal associates, and to just kind of watch the different qualities that they exhibit and their pastimes, that can also teach us in a very powerful way.
So if we can associate with释迦牟尼佛的联谊，然后通过阅读他的书籍和这些阿查人们以及和主的这些同游们去联谊，那么通过学习能够观看以及了解他们的这些美好的品质以及他们的行为的话，其实这个对于我们来说是一个非常有效力的方法。
We can also develop good qualities by associating with those who have them.Or possess them more than we do.
而且呢，我们也可以去和那些比我们拥有更多的美好品质的奉献者一起联谊。
And in that respect, if we do gather for programs and things like that, then we should all be very strict in keeping the association sadhu sangha and not.Letting it degrade into grumya katha or village talks.
当我们在和奉献者在联谊的时候呢，我们要始终把它保持成是一种萨杜桑格的氛围，而不要把它变成了一个讲闲话，讲这个 grumya talk， 就是讲这个闲言碎语的这么一个地方。
So, sadhu sangha doesn't mean to discuss mundane topics.
所以三度三个并三度三个圣人的联谊不意味着我们要去讲世俗的话题。
You know, unless it's related to devotional service.
至少所有的这些话题呢是应该与奉爱服务相连接的。
But it's not an opportunity to pitch, you know, the newest get rich scheme of investment or other business type of ideas.
那么不要把这个联谊的机会呢当成我们探讨怎么能够赚大钱怎么能够去了解一个新的投资方法的聚会
or to speak about you know controversies so we can line up on one side or the other side
或者说是去讲一些有矛盾的这些话题或者让自己站队或者是处在这边或者不帮助那边人。
We come together so infrequently as it is, we should really utilize that time for hearing and chanting, serious hearing and chanting.
因为我们大家聚在一起实际上真的是非常珍贵而且很不容易，所以呢当我们聚在一起的时候，我们真的要把这个机会去用作聆听和唱诵这些活动上。
Let our association be guided by Rupa Goswami's six principles.
所以呢，让我们的这个联谊呢，要在 Rupa Goswami 的六项原则的指导下去进行。
Offering, receiving, prasad, offering, receiving gifts.
我们要这个给予和获得 prasad 等供奉和给予礼物。
Inquiring confidential, offering confidential.
还有就是在机密的情况下进行交流，袒露心声，并且获得指导。
So it's
Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
I said it's every devotee's responsibility to keep the Sangha, actual Sangha, and not let it degrade into some kind of a mundane gathering.
所以每一个奉献者他应该履行的职责都是努力地保护我们的圣人的联谊的这种氛围, 而不要把它变成一个世俗的聚会。
Okay, next.
The next question is from a devotee from YY. She's saying that 初级奉献者婚姻内的性关系怎么做是恰当的呢? For the neophyte devotee, for their sex part in their marriage life, what to do is the proper way to have that for them?
That is, you know, very much case by case kind of a situation.
那么这个是根据不同的夫妻的情况来定的。
And we would direct you to a document in the form of a book, which is called The Heart and Soul Connection, which was put together by the Grahastha Vision Team, a group of very senior devotees and grahasthas. And they put together this this book about this, and it in that book it does touch upon this. So I would direct you to get a hold of that document and read through it, and it does speak about this.
就是有一个被称为叫愿景团队的一群年长的居士夫妇们，他们编辑了一本书，这本书呢叫。 心与灵魂的连接，那么在这本书里面呢，就涵盖了居士生活的具体的这些内容。所以呢，我建议你呢要把这本书好好的阅读一下。那我也会把这本书提供给你。But
on this point, the gist could be or would be that ideally we should be strictly following the principles.
但是总体来说呢。
Which would mean, according to Prabhupada's highest standard, the highest standard would be, you know, sex life only for the procreation of children.
那也就意味着，如果要是遵循释迦牟尼佛的最高的原则的话， 性生活只是为了要生育孩子才会去做的活动。
But if you're in a situation where one partner's a devotee, one partner's not, this is very, very difficult.
但是如果您所处在的状态是一边是奉献者，而另外一边不是奉献者的话，那这么做就会非常的难了。So,
you may have to settle for a lower standard, and hopefully over time that the partner can become, you know, more uplifted to the mode of goodness and purified, and perhaps in the future could follow more strictly.
所以呢，在如果是这样的一种状况呢，那就开始先从低等的标准先做起。那么希望随着时间的推移呢，就是另外一边不是奉献者的这个奉献者呢，他能够变得逐渐的提升，然后变得更加的处在善良的形态。
As I remember, their kind of bottom line is that we should always try to do everything possible to keep a marriage together.
那我所记得的就是底线，就是我们应该尽量的从事一些活动，使得我们的这个婚姻能够维持下去。
Unless there is, you know, very serious abuse, physical or otherwise abuse, then that could be possible grounds for separation.
除非在这个夫妻间产生了有各种形式的家暴，否则的话呢，以这个婚姻是要继续持续的，就不要有分居这件事情。
Because, you know, the simple fact is this, is that, you know, it's not always possible for everybody to follow the highest standard. I think we should be honest with ourselves.
那么这个事实就是我们应该诚实地面对自己。每一个人都不可能永远都保持最高的标准。
And, you know, in numerous cases, young grihasthas who both may be very good devotees and all, but, you know, they may have some weakness, and particularly in the beginning, and they may indulge a bit. And over time, you know, they might be able to more strictly follow the principle. Some are able to follow very strictly right from the beginning and all the way through. Some are able to, you know, follow after some time. So I think we have devotees practicing on different levels. And it's not all or nothing.
那在很多这种情况下是这样的，就是比如说年轻的奉献者小夫妻，那么他们双方都是很好的奉献者，但是呢双方也都有一些弱点，所以呢就不可能永远都处在一个非常完美的一个去修习所有的这些原则的这种状态下，但是希望就是在逐渐的这个修习的这个过程中能够使自己变得这个进化，然后慢慢的能够更好的去遵守这个原则。
So for more direction on that, I would really strongly advise you get a hold of that book, Heart and Soul Connection. It has been translated into Chinese, and perhaps you can read it, and that would give you a little bit more insight on this matter.
但是我对您的建议呢，就是我希望您能够阅读心与灵魂的连接这本书，那么这本书呢现在已经被翻译成了中文，所以呢可以去阅读，希望在这个读这个书的时候呢能够给您很多的很好的见地。
Next question please.
The next question from Das. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 听了七天 Mayavadi 哲学家才开始传教，我们传教时也需要容忍的去聆听非奉献者所说的东西吗？Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard Mayavadi's preaching for 7 days. Then he started to preach to him. So for us, while we are preaching, do we also need to tolerate from hearing the non-devotees talk?
Good point. Obviously, we're not see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
您这个提出了一个很好的点，但是呢很显然我们并不是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu。
And we are warned not to hear Mayavada philosophy or listen to it.
而且呢我们也被警告着不要聆听 Mayavadi 的哲学。
So we have, you know, a choice, you know, we can offer try to refute it by using our philosophy, you know, and using logic, reason, and all of that, if we are capable.
所以呢，我们是有选择的。我们可以用我们的哲学去拒绝聆听 Mayavadi 的哲学，或者是用，如果我们要是有能力的话呢，我们可以用逻辑、用推理去说服，去不听。
If not, then it's probably best to extricate oneself from that situation by, you know, just, I don't know, going away, doing whatever, but not subjecting oneself to the continuous bombardment of Mayavada philosophy.
但是如果您要是没有能力去说服他们的话呢，您可能采取一个避之的这种方法，比如说你可以离开呀，或者是怎么样，反正就不要让自己去听 Mayavadi 他们的这些阐述。
And I would also offer that following Mahaprabhu's example, Prabhupada's example, and so on, if we are going to try to refute someone's philosophy, be it Mayavad or whatever, then there's etiquette that we can also simultaneously be polite, and we can be gentle. We can display, good virtues like that when we're speaking. And I think that's the point. That there's a way to deliver the truth without having it to be so so much of like an attack.
还有呢，就是如果我们要追随 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的步伐，追随 Sri Prabhupada 的这个榜样的话呢，那我们其实也可以学会用一种非常就是非常温柔的、非常的宜人的一种方式，去拒绝假象中他们所说的这种观点。也就是说，当我们在跟别人讲话的时候呢，我们可以采取一种很柔和的方式，而不是去攻击人家的观点。
Sometimes devotees try to imitate others.
有的时候奉献者呢就想要去效仿其他的人。
Like, sometimes Prabhupada, he gets quite animated and quite strong when he's speaking from the Vyasasan and all of that. Angry at Mayavad philosophy and this and that. We can't imitate Prabhupada. He's the Acharya. He's the founder Acharya. He was elderly. He was the head of an institution and so many other things. We're not he. We'll never be he.
那么薛拉帕帕他有的时候呢坐在他的维阿萨座上的时候呢他就会非常严厉的抨击马尔瓦蒂的哲学，但是呢，我们不能够去模仿他的这个样子，因为 Srila Prabhupada 他是一位创办灵性导师，他是一位 Acharya， 他是一位长者。那我们因为永远都不可能成为是他的那个样子，所以呢，我们不能够在这些方面去模仿他。
Generally, Prabhupada was quite gentle and considerate.While speaking with persons, and he displayed that particular the process of speaking the truth in a palatable way.
通常来说，舍勒帕帕在和别人讲话的时候呢，他是非常的替别人考虑的，而且呢，他也是很柔和的，而且呢，他是会以一种宜人的方式去和别人进行沟通和交流的。
So in general, I think, it's all about how we present. I mean, we can present coming off as very arrogant and all-knowing and absolute, and very challenging and be very strong. And, my experience is that usually has the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.所以呢，这个取决于我们是如何的去阐述我们的观点。我们到底是极具攻击性的，然后用严厉的这种态度，用严厉的这种言辞去和别人讲话呢？那我自己的这种个人体验就是，通常来讲，这样的态度会逆其道而行。
Rather a more a gentle.And more kind of compassionate, humble type of response. In most cases, I don't say all, in most cases, it probably will have a better effect.
在大部分的这种情况下，如果要是你非常柔和的、宜人的，并且呢，替别人考虑的这种心态下去和别人交流，就会得到更好的效果。我并不是说所有的情况都这样，但大部分是这样的。
Next question.
From Radha Ananda Mataji, Hare Krishna, 深深的顶拜敬爱的圣 Guru Maharaj. 非常感谢您清晰明确的讲解和阐述。请问，除了圣帕帕德的书籍，我们还可以选看其他的书籍吗？关于读哪些书，最近和一些刚刚接触伊斯康的朋友有过这方面的探讨，敬请训示，非常的感恩。Hare Krishna, please accept my very, very humble obeisances to you, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, and thank you very much for your clear explanation of your teaching. And my question is that other than Srila Prabhupada's book, are there any other books we can read as some options? Recently, I have the discussion with a friend who is newly joined the ISKCON or who is newly get in contact with the ISKCON. So we discuss about what kind of books to read. So do you have any instructions and suggestions? Thank you very much.
Speaking of which of Srila Prabhupada's books to have a newcomer read?
Yeah, well, so you're confirming the question, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying, is that the point? Is that what, you can confirm,
I think she's trying to ask, other than Srila Prabhupada's book, are there any other books can be read? Because the newcomers is kind of asking this question, so are there any other questions to read other than Srila Prabhupada's book?
Well, we, you know, as followers of Prabhupada, we realize the potency of Prabhupada's books, and, you know, we would want to suggest that devotees, be they older devotees or newer devotees, read Prabhupada's books exclusively as far as possible. That doesn't mean you can't occasionally read other books, providing they're bona fide.
Srila Prabhupada 的追随者，那因为我们都了解 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍所具备的这种力量，所以呢，无论是作为一个已经休息一段时间的奉献者，还是作为一个新的奉献者，我们其实都建议，在尽可能的情况下，我们只阅读Srila Prabhupada的书籍。但与此同时呢，并不意味着我们就完全说不能够阅读其他的书籍作为偶尔的一些选择了。
Srila Prabhupada's book should be the main books that we're reading.
但是呢，Srila Prabhupada的书籍呢，应该是我们主要读的书籍。
And we could read some other books along with that, but how much time in a day do we have?So we would advocate that, you know, first and foremost, read Prabhupada's books. And then if there's some more time, yes, you can read other books.
所以说呢，在阅读Srila Prabhupada书籍之余呢，我们还可以去阅读一些其他的书籍。但是问题是我们一天中到底有多少时间呢？所以说呢，当我们在一天中尽可能的读了Srila Prabhupada的书籍之后，如果还有时间的话呢，也可以去读一点其他的书。
Sometimes devotees have the notion that I already finished it. I already finished the Bhagavad Gita.
有些奉献者可能就会有这样一个概念，就是我已经读了圣殿薄伽梵歌了，读完了已经。
Actually, we never finish Bhagavad Gita.
但事实上，我们永远都读不完薄伽梵歌。
Many devotees read Bhagavad Gita every day, and they've done so for the last 40 years.
那有很多奉献者呢，是在过去的四十年里面每天都会读薄伽梵歌。
And although they've read the Bhagavatam, they may have read the Bhagavatam all the way through. They still read the Bhagavatam every day.
那也许可能他们已经读完了整部的圣典薄伽瓦坛，但是现在依然还是在每天的继续阅读。
So first and foremost, Prabhupada's books, and then yes, we can read others. Yes, we can certainly read Mahabharat, Ramayana, or you know, books by other.ISKCON devotees, but again, how much time do we have? And if it comes down to it, if we only have a certain amount of time, it's more important to read Prabhupada's books than to read other books.
所以说呢，我们首先呢是先阅读释迦牟尼佛的书籍，然后呢我们也可以阅读，比如说像Mahabharata 或者是罗摩衍那以及 ISKCON 的其他的奉献者所写的这些书籍。但是再重申一次，就是我们有多少时间呢？如果要是我们这个阅读的这个时间，用来读了释迦牟尼佛的书籍之后，我们依然还是有一些其他的时间的话，那我们可以去读其他的书。
If devotees don't understand that Prabhupada's books are the most important, then they won't value them as much, and you know they would just read anything and just put everything on the same level. But we really need to read Prabhupada's books most of the time, and you know in this way we'll be enriched in our own practice of Krishna consciousness.
那如果是奉献者，他不知道释迦牟尼佛的书籍到底有多么的重要，所以呢，他就不会那么的去珍视释迦牟尼佛的书籍，那他就会把这些书呢和其他的书呢放在同等重要的，就是放在同等的这个位置上。但其实我们真正的是需要了解释迦牟尼佛的书籍是多么的重要，并且我们需要去阅读他们。当我们去阅读他们的时候呢，就会使我们的风来智觉的修习变得更加的具有滋养。
If we don't learn the value and the importance of reading Prabhupada's books daily, then it'll be too easy just to read any old thing.
Anything
else.
Okay. 那么如果我们要是不知道释迦牟尼佛的书籍的重要性，以及我们不知道它的这个价值的话，那我们其实可能就会把它看成，我们就会想当然的把它看成其他的事情了，就会把它放在和其他的事情一样的位置。
So as leaders, we should try to emphasize the culture of reading Prabhupada's books daily.
所以说作为领导也应该强调我们所有的这个文化，也就是要每天都去阅读释迦牟尼佛的书籍。
It makes a huge difference.
因为呢会给我们产生巨大的巨大的影响，巨大的变化。
Some devotees seem to know Ramayana better than they know Bhagavad Gita.
有些奉献者好像比这个就是更加的了解 Ramayana 相对《国家梵歌》来说。
Again, there's nothing wrong with the Mahabharata or Ramayana, but more important for us is Bhagavad Gita.
当然 ，Mahabharata 和罗摩衍那都没有什么问题，他们都是挺好的书。但是对于我们来说，更重要的是《国家梵歌》。
I mean, the purpose of the Mahabharata was really to draw everyone's attention in by all this political intrigue and romance and all these things, so that the main essence of the whole purpose of Mahabharata was the Bhagavad Gita to be spoken.
那么这个 Mahabharata 呢，它虽然说有很多的浪漫的细节，有很多的这些这个政治上的阴谋诡计，但是所有的这些呢，全部都是为了要把我们的这个注意力给吸引到，它讲述了《国家梵歌》。
So like that. Now, as far as you know, books for newcomers. Personally.I like the science of self-realization because it's broken down into different categories, different topics, and you know the articles are short, so they're easy to go through. I think that's a really good book.
但是对于这个新人来说呢，我个人真的很建议他读《觉悟自我的科学》。因为这个自我觉悟的科学呢，它很好的把各个话题进行了分类，而且呢，每一篇文章都很短，所以呢，读起来比较容易。
If someone's a little bit more philosophical, they can start reading the Gita straight away. But oftentimes it helps Science of Self-Realization, some of the smaller books, maybe a little bit easier to get through. I mean, the Gita is quite large. It can be quite daunting. As an introduction into some of the smaller books, and particularly the Science of Self-Realization.
但是对于就是更加的有哲学性的这个理解的人呢，他可以直接就开始阅读《国家梵歌》。 但是对于大部分人来说呢，因为《国家梵歌》看起来这个部头比较大，而且呢，可能内容也比较复杂，所以呢，不是那么太容易理解。所以作为一个新人来说呢，一些小一点的这个书，特别是像觉悟自我的科学，就很被推荐。Okay,
another question.
The next question is from Das. 怎样去讲那些并不悦耳宜人的真相，只是避免就可以吗？ What is a better way to present those not so unpleasant truths, or shall we just avoid those?
What is the best way to present unpleasant truths?
Yeah, I guess, my understanding is that how to present the people that, it's not a good idea to eat the meat because that is a kind of slaughtering the entities, I'm just guessing, because there are, I think Srila Prabhupada sometimes using a very heavy word to just to tell people the truth is that, but she's asking what is a pleasant way to present that?
Well,
so are there any sugarcoating way to present that?
Well, it's all a question of presentation, and we can use logic and reason. We can bring in facts, the observation, If that, taking that example about meaty.
就比如说，因为刚才 Mara 问了一下，就是所谓说的有真相是什么？就是 Mara 说呢，就是全部都在于我们到底是怎么去展现它。我们可以用一些逻辑啊，可以用一些推理啊，然后呢，可以用。 一些例子呀，比如说关于吃肉的这个问题，可以用一些这个例子这些方面去展现。If
we look at it objectively, there's many reasons why it would be preferred to subsist upon a plant-based diet.
所以如果我们要是从客观的角度上来看呢，其实有很多的这个例子可以告诉我们。 为什么说素食它就是一个很好的这个佐餐的方法，佐餐的选择。And
so in this way we can appeal to people's common sense and their ability to discern between these things.
那以这样的方式呢，就可以来吸引人们的这种常识。 然后从而让他们能够有自己的一种判别力。I
mean, you can just explain that the human body is not set up for it. You can describe. I mean, there's a whole explanation of this in the Higher Taste or whatever it's called now. It's still out there. There's other books. According to the structure of the human being's teeth, the potency of the acid in the stomach, the intestinal length. It's all very closely compared to a vegetarian animal.
那然后就比如说还是就是比如说在跟别人说不能够吃肉的这件事情，拿这个来举一个例子啊，那我们就可以来向别人来展示我们的这个人类的这个躯体。
是多么的不适合去吃肉，而且呢，却可以通过各种角度来展示我们的这个人类的躯体，其实跟这个吃素的动物的这个躯体是很相类似的。Health, let's talk about health. I mean, so many diseases have been now linked to the eating of meat.
还有，如果是跟健康相关的话，现在有很多的病都是和吃肉相连在一起的。Even
COVID-19.
Even what?
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
The coronavirus.
Oh, coronavirus. 即便是就是现在的这个新冠病毒也是和这个相关的。
What to speak of the environment? The environment is also being destroyed because of factory farming.
那么也就更不用说我们的这个环境的污染了，也是由于畜牧业，所以呢使我们的环境很受污染。
So I mean, like this, there are various reasons that we can give.
所以就像这样，就是我们可以给很多的这个理由。
And of course, you know, karma is one of them. If we inflict violence, obviously, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, if you do something, you'll get some reaction and so on and so forth. I mean, so there are ways to present things. And it really depends on our ability to do that. You know, what resources we have at hand to present things.
Yeah. 还有呢，就比如说，你也可以提到这个业报。就如果要是做了不好的事情之后呢，就会因为这件事情有这个不好的反作用力，而产生的这个影响。所以呢，就是根据我们所有的这个能力，可以，而且根据我们所具有的这些资源，可以以不同的这种方式去对人们进行呈现。
So we want to try to appeal to people's intelligence and higher their higher nature.
其中一种方式呢，就是我们要激发人家的这种智性，然后呢，让他更高的本性展现出来。
And you know, it really depends on our ability to present things.
但是呢，这取决于我们展示一件事情的能力。
How masterful we are in presenting Shastric statements using logic, using reason, using observation like this.
然后呢，也取决于我们有多么好的能够通过经典中的教导，以及通过用逻辑啊、推理啊，还有通过我们的观察呀，来展现这些事实。
So like this.Again, I want to emphasize the point about not trying to imitate.
然后我现在我还是想要强调一点，就是不要效仿，不要模仿。
Because I would say, just using my own example, when I was a younger devotee, you know, not so experienced, I tried to imitate another devotee who was very, very heavy, very strong in his presentation, and he would often raise his voice and be quite intimidating when he was trying to convince someone of the philosophy.
那我自己举我自己的一个例子啊，就是当我还年轻的时候呢，当时我没有什么经验，但是呢，我就经常会效仿另外一位奉献者。那么这位奉献者呢，他总是言辞非常的犀利，而且非常的严厉。那么当他在这个在说话的时候呢，他可能是很有震撼力的去抨击的。
Like trying to hammer them.
那就好像是拿着一个锤子去砸人家那种感觉。
They wouldn't accept hammer more.
但是呢，大家是不会接受一个锤子的砸的。
And personally, I found it had the opposite effect because the person's kind of defense mechanism went up as soon as we started to be aggressive and raise the voice and be intimidating. And then their intelligence kind of shut down. Then they were kind of like in a kind of a mood of retaliation. How dare you speak to me like that, or in that tone, and that kind of thing. So then the intelligence shuts down, and then you know, you can't really present things because people then are reacting because of emotion.
但是呢，我发现其实经常这样就会产生反的效果，就是当你拿着一个锤子去锤人家的时候，然后变得有这种攻击性的时候，这样就会使人家的这种智性就被关闭了。然后呢，人家就会产生一种这个 敌对的这种情绪，然后呢就会说你怎么能够用这样的话来跟我讲话呢？你怎么能够这样对待我呢？所以这样一来，你所讲的这种话就没有办法再被人家去接受了。
So personally, I learned that, you know, it's more effective to have a more kind of a gentle approach. I found better results through the years, and so at some point I really changed. I really changed.
所以呢，在这么多年我自己的这个体验呢，就是用非常温和的方式去对待别人，去给别人讲述的时候呢，是能够得到更好的效果。
Sorry, this is the last sentence.
那所以呢，就是其实我在某一点的时候，我自己也发生了很大的变化，我真的是变了。
Not compromising the philosophy, but presenting it in a more palatable way, in a more gentle way, I found that people could assimilate it much better.
所以呢，并不是说是要妥协经典中的教导，而是以一种非常宜人的方式去把这种教导展示给别人。那我发现呢，这个能够更好的同化别人，能够更好的使别人接受。
I also learned early on that to whatever extent we can present or engage people in chanting the holy name will go a long way to opening their hearts and making them more receptive to the philosophy.
而且呢，我发现就是如果是能够让人家去念诵这个圣名，然后能够这样的方式呢，能够使别人更加的能够去接受，能够更加的去理解我们的这个哲学。
As far as possible, we want them to have an experience, some kind of an uplifting experience.
而且呢，我们是希望能够有自己亲身的那种体验，是一种提升的体验。
And that's what Prabhupada tried to give everyone. I mean, certainly in the beginning, he relied a lot on chanting the holy name.
而且呢，这也是舍利帕帕他想要给予大家的，特别是在最开始的时候呢。他是很依靠于让大家念诵圣名的，唱诵圣名的。
More often than not, he would start with chanting, he would speak a bit and finish with chanting. So, you know, there was a lot of time devoted to the chanting of the holy name.
所以他经常呢是开始的时候，就讲课开始的时候是以唱诵开始，然后结束的时候呢也是以唱诵结束，这样就是奉献者有很多机会可以接触圣名。
The other thing is that we shouldn't be impatient and think that we have to speak everything, you know, just in one go.
还有另外一点呢，就是我们不应该没有耐心，我们不能够一下子就把所有的信息全部都给道出来了。
That wasn't Prabhupada's system. You know, he first wanted people to understand the difference between matter and spirit, difference between the body and the soul. And once they understood that, then he would move on. Otherwise, he wouldn't. He would just stay on that point. Because he understood that if people couldn't grasp that point, it would be very hard for them to grasp anything else.
比如说舍利帕帕他所采用的原则呢，就是他会首先让人家理解，我们是灵性的，不是物质的，我们不是这躯体，我们是灵魂。然后他就一直会让这个人去理解这一点。那么在这个人没有理解这一点之前，他就会停在这儿，他不会再去讲别的事情，因为他发现如果要是一个人他要是不明白这个道理的话，其他的他都没有办法去理解。
So in that respect, you know,we had the experience when we first started the mission in Hong Kong, and we were teaching a yoga program in which we taught some asan about 30% of the time. We spoke some philosophy from the Gita, and we included some chanting. We gave a little prasadam.
所以呢，就是在这样的一种理解之下呢，我们在香港开始做的这个节目就是。我们会讲3%，我们会用百分之三十的时间呢来讲一些关于八部瑜伽的那个内容，然后呢再讲一些这个《国家梵歌》里面的哲学， 然后再把 prasadam 派给来的参加这个活动的这些人，然后之后呢，我们还会唱诵。
So what we learn through experience is that if we present too much philosophy, and we reveal, you know, certain aspects of our philosophy, particularly that, you know, ultimately God's a person, that people couldn't assimilate it, and they would go away. And, yeah, go ahead.
那么就通过我们自己的这种体验，就是如果我们要是太多的展现哲学，特别是我们把我们这个最终的目标告诉大家，就是神是一个人的时候，很多时候这人他是没有办法理解的，所以他就离开了。
But then we learned that if we would present the philosophy more gradual, as Prabhupada did, then, you know, it would build on itself from A, one, you know, once a week, right? Because people would come once a week or twice a week. And then, so, okay, you present A, the difference of body and the self. And then when they got that, then you talk about other things. So you gradually build, you build. As people accept more and more and more, then by the end, it's much easier to accept the conclusion. Rather, if you give the conclusion too soon without giving the framework for everything else, it's not so easy for people.
但是呢，我们就这个逐渐的理解到，如果是按照沙拉帕帕的这种方法，用逐渐的方式去为人们的理解力去搭建的话呢，就是一个更加有效的方法。比如说我们的这个活动呢，人们会每周来参加一次，或者每两周来参加一次。那么我们呢，就把这个 A 这一方面的这个知识呢先给人家，然后比如说就是你不是这个躯体，然后呢你不是物质的这样的这个基本的这个信息给人家之后呢，然后再逐渐的慢慢的向上搭建更高深的这种知识。那以这样的逐一渐进的方式呢，使我们就能够更好的去理解了。
So with that, I think I should end. We've actually gone a little over time. I had promised to keep this to a maximum of 2 hours.
那现在呢，我要把今天的这个课程结束了，因为我们今天的这个课已经超时了。我曾经就许诺过，我们这个课最长时间呢，就上2个小时的时间。
So we could, we could capture those questions and we could discuss them or answer them next week, perhaps.
然后因为下面还有一些没有解答的问题，那这些问题呢会留下来，我们下一周的时候呢，再给大家回答。
So I would request if there are more questions, and that's my presumption here.
There are more.
Then I would ask Sati Mataji perhaps if she could capture those and then we could discuss them next week.
然后因为下面确实还有不少问题，所以呢，我们就请 Sati Mataji 帮我们把这些问题给留下来，然后呢，下一周继续探讨。
And I would request then Shyamalila to translate them for me, so at least we know what the questions were, and then we can be more prepared to answer them next week.
然后呢，沙玛丽拉玛德吉呢会帮我把所有的这些问题呢给翻译出来，然后在下一周的时候呢，我就能够有更好的准备的给大家更好的回答这些问题。
So I want to thank you so much for your very kind participation.
所以呢，我感谢大家仁慈的参与。
Always very gratifying to speak to the devotees there.
我总是很感谢，很心满意足的能够和大家来进行讲述。
And due to the force of circumstance, we're not able to visit physically yet.
特别是现在这种状况，使得我们不能够亲身的相见。
But hopefully, in some period of time, we will be able to visit again.
但是希望假以时日之后呢，我们能够继续的进行我们的拜访。
But for now, this is second best. At least we can go on associating through this medium.
但是现在至少呢，我们能够通过这样的平台来联谊。
So that's Krishna's mercy upon us.
所以这是 Krishna 赐予我们的仁慈。
So please continue to be strict in your practice.
所以呢，请大家继续要严格认真的习练我们的 Krishna 智觉。
Express gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas that they've given us this very wonderful process.
向 Srila Prabhupada 以及先辈的 acharya 们表达我们的感激之情，因为是他们给了我们这么好的程序。
We should never take it for granted.
所以呢，我们永远都不要想当然的去对待这些程序。
It's only by Srila Prabhupada's inconceivable mercy that somehow or another we're being given the opportunity to become devotees.
因为只有藉着 Srila Prabhupada 不可思议的仁慈，我们才不知怎么的得到了能够成为奉献者的机会。
Even though we're not that qualified.
其实我们并没有资格。
But Prabhupada's created our piety.
但是 Srila Prabhupada 他为我们创造了我们的虔诚。
So it's really a gift that we can't repay.
所以这是一个我们没有办法回报的得到的礼物。
But Prabhupada said that you can try to repay by practicing seriously and trying to share what I have given to others.
但 Srila Prabhupada 说呢，我们可以通过自己认真的修习以及努力的把它分享给其他人这样的方式去表达我们的感激之情。
So dear devotees, please be well.
所以亲爱的奉献者们，请大家一定要保重。
Continue to take any necessary precautions to safeguard against getting ill.
然后继续呢，要让自己要小心，不要让自己生病。
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Yeah, and Krishna willing, we will meet again next week.
所以如果在 Krishna 的意愿下，我们下一周再见。
We want to thank Sati Mataji for facilitating.
非常感谢 Sati Mataji 为我们安排的这个设施。
Thank Donna Kaylee Mataji for translating.
谢谢 Donna Kaylee 的翻译。
And thank all of you for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
一切的荣耀都归于 Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj.